Okay, guys, so most of y'all have been here throughout the summer, but we've been going through a series on the Psalms called Praying the Psalms, and we've just been having different people come up and share for about 15 minutes on a psalm that's really impacted their relationship with the Lord and prayer life, just so you guys can see what it really looks like to meditate and steep in the Psalms and actually pray them, because they're incredibly useful often when we don't have words, whether that's a point of excitement or suffering where you just don't know what to say. The Psalms for thousands of years have been an aid to believers to give voice to their emotions before the Lord. So Kit Case, who is one of our elders and a dear friend, is coming up to share this morning. He's been in and around PCPC for a while, married to Carrie, who is the best. So Kit, if you could come up, I'll pray us in, and then, yes, well, four, I think. Yeah, it's okay. Okay, I'll pray and then we can get rolling. Father, thank you so much for your goodness and your kindness, and your grace to us, no matter where we are. Thank you for the gift of your Son, that we have a reconciled relationship with you, and freedom because of what he's accomplished on our behalf. I pray that you would open our eyes and our ears and our hearts to what you have to say through Kit this morning, that you would draw us into a deeper, abiding relationship with you. Thank you for this time and this community. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Well, good morning. Yeah, as Reynolds said, I've been a member here really since the beginning, so 35 years, something like that. We've raised three daughters. I've caused a lot of ruckus and caused problems and all that fun stuff people do in the church. But so I'm married. We got three daughters, got seven grandkids. Got a daughter who lives in L.A., one that's in Houston, and then one's here in Dallas. So that's kind of a little bit of my background. I've been an elder here probably, I think, 18 year, something like that. And people are still shocked. They're going, what in the world is he doing? So, Reynolds and Kim asked me to share a psalm that's been very impactful to me, but they wouldn't really let me do that, what I wanted to do, because I have to do something in book four. And so I went to book four, which starts in Psalm 90. And it's and the reason why I picked this particular verse just in advance is because I used to pray it over mission trips, over our mission trips, anytime people were going out. And as I was reading it this week, it's changed. It's totally changed me, and which is pretty exciting, I think. I think I've got a lot of work to do. So let's go to Psalm 90, the last two verses, 16 and 17. New King James Version says it like this: let your work appear to your servants, and your glory to their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. So what happened this week is I used to, you can see that for a mission trip. Let your work be known to us. Let us see what you're doing out on the mission field, right? You go out, you're in difficult conditions or whatever, and you want to see God work, right? But why just mission trip? Why not here? Why not our mission trip today, this afternoon, here, this morning? And so I've really been kind of changed on this. And I think about my question to y'all that I want to discuss with this morning is, are you living, am I living as if God is not working? That's the question. Are we living as if God is not working and active? Do you have your eyes open to what's going on around you? Or are you so focused on me, like I do? Like I'm focused on my issues, my concerns. But am I really seeing people, friends, relationships through the eyes of God as if he's not working? So let me start off a little bit with, I do some work with Men of Nehemiah. Are y'all familiar with Men of Nehemiah, the drug rehab place, South Dallas? It's so cool. It's just heaven on earth. And this is where guys come off the streets, prison, most have been sexually abused. They're just, it's just horrific lives growing up. Most of them. Some of them are great families. But they come in and it's a 9-month program. And we worship every Tuesday night and Sunday mornings. And so you get to see these guys, and I mentor some of them. And you get to see these guys come in, and you can tell their first week, and if they're lasting, a lot of them leave after one day, but they, their eyes are just tired, they're not smiling, they're dead, they're protective, they don't trust anybody. And then over that 9 months, you can just watch the change in these men as they learn about the love of Christ that compels them to no longer live for himself, but to live for him. And you see them hugging each other, brothers, arms around each other, smiling, singing, crying. And they start off, I mean, just no trust, nothing, alone, hard. Now that's easy to see God working in that, right? But God's working in everywhere else too. It's just not men and Nehemiah. And so that's where, that's the mindset I want to set for this discussion. Does anyone have any thoughts on that? Any experiences of seeing change? Okay. So, going back to Psalm 90, let your work appear to your servants and your glory to their children, and let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. So the key words I see in that, first one's glory. And your glory. What do you think that looks like? What is glory? What do you think of when you read the word glory? Anyone with just one word, two words about what that means?
Greatness.
Hmm?
Greatness.
Greatness? Yeah. It's big. Do we ever see the glory of God? Do we ever recognize the glory of God? Another word is work. Let your work appear to your servant. So God is doing what? He's working. It's not just saying just on mission trips. He said, let your work appear to your servants. Where is he working that you see it? I forget it. I mean, I get reminded of Nehemiah and all that, but I forget it in my life. I am not seeing him work in my children's lives or my life or in relationships that are difficult or whatever. I'm not, my eyes aren't open to that, I don't think. But yeah, he is working. Okay, beauty. That's another key word in here. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. Beauty. You ever think of God being beautiful? I mean, think about when he's on the mountain and he was in white in his full glory. And they looked upon him, John and Peter and James, I think. And saw him as he is. I think about years ago, I had a buddy of mine who's on staff with the Crusade in China for 40-something years, and they had two girls from, I think it's Iran, that worked for him. They had become believers, two sisters. And they get a call from their mom just saying, you didn't tell me. You didn't tell me how beautiful he is. I go, what? Yeah, you didn't tell me how beautiful Jesus is. He came and visited us today, and which I totally believe it, that this man, that Jesus manifested himself to come and visit this woman. The beauty of the Lord, are our eyes on the beauty of the Lord, or on the work of the Lord? I think another key word here is servant. Let your work appear to your servants. And again, are we servants? Am I a servant of him, or am I serving my own needs? I mean, honestly, I'd have to say I'm generally kind of set off my day each morning to go serve my needs. And that may be serving other people's needs in his name and his power and all that. That's right. But is that where my heart is? Am I abiding enough where I am actually watching him move in other people as I work with him? It's a different mindset. You see how it just totally can take over your world if you look at through that grid. And your glory to his children, and then actually the work part is establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. What does he mean by establish? What do you think that means? Any thoughts?
Make a foundation.
Foundation?
The initial process.
I think so too. I didn't look it up. And I'm an idiot, so it may be wrong, but if you said it, it's probably right. Establish means make it meaningful, foundational. Do you ever pray like that in the morning or the evening or something? Just establish the work of my hands? I don't think I do that much. I don't think I do. And it led me to think about also the sermons, Ephesians sermons, I've just been loving. Mark's just kicking our tail. I just love it. And these prayers that Paul prayed. Do you pray for your friends that they would experience the fullness of God today? I mean, Mark kind of put that to us a couple weeks ago, right? Do we pray that boldly? That you would put the fullness of God in Reynolds? Or praying for the hope of his calling, or praying for that they would understand the riches of their inheritance, or the power, that they would experience the power of his resurrection, or that they would know the height, the width, the depth of the love of God. Yeah, that prayer is meaningful to me because I have, I just prayed over my daughters their whole life, that Ephesians 3, that they would know that love of God. And because if we do know that love of God really well, that answers a lot of stuff. That solves a lot of problems in our world, in our life. And I have one daughter, my middle daughter, is off the reservation spiritually. And I was driving, it was a golf weekend. I was coming in Sunday morning listening to the service. And at a baptism. And they started talking about a verse over their child and made me go to Ephesians 3. And then the next person came up to baptize their children, and it was Ephesians 3. It was Ephesians 3. And the exact same verse that I prayed over my girls, and I felt like the Lord saying, I've got her. I don't know if she's going to be saved, but I know God hears me. And I know he's with me. And to experience that intimacy from the Lord, it was amazing, absolutely amazing. And that's what we're missing out on if we're not seeing him work, listening for him working. That's what we're missing out on. And so that's why I want to encourage us to do that. And again, it kind of makes me think about being all in to this life. And we're talking about really living in the spirit, not in the flesh. That's kind of what we're talking about, I think. And there's a Psalm 25. I'm going to go to my favorite Psalm, Reynolds. Let's see. Let me go to it. I should have it memorized. But this was pretty important to me in an early part of my career when everything was kind of sucking air. And I made decisions out of faith that weren't going well. And it starts off, to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in you. Listen to the emotion in this. O my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Indeed, let no one who waits on you be ashamed. Let those be ashamed who deal treacherously without cause. So this, to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. It's like I'm all in. I'm all in. And if I'm all in, that means my head, as used to say in football, your head's on a swivel. You're watching for God working. I'm all in on you, Jesus. And you know, I don't know, Monday, Thursday, do y'all do that service? It's the best service we have every year. It just, oh, it just kills me. And Stephen, oh gosh, I just lost his name. The choir sing this song, Lord Have Mercy, For I Put My Trust in You. And it's just full of emotion, like, I'm in. Just, Lord, have mercy on me, because I'm trusting you in everything. And that's what living in the Spirit is. It's not, I trust in me. No, Lord, I trust in you, for you are my God. And so, anyway, I think that's most of kind of what I want to say. Any thoughts on that? And does it cause you to think about anything? Yes.
Everything you've talked about, I've thought has been very active and not very like kind of a static word, but like, you know, to trust in someone, to continue to do that, to work and, you know, stuff. Uh-huh. It's all an active process.
Yes, that's a good point. Right. There's action needs to happen. We need to initiate something. Mm-hmm. And it may be initiating is still being open, mm-hmm. making yourself, okay, I'm going to quit looking at me so much, but I'm choosing to look out here at what God's doing. Yes.
Can you talk a little bit about your interpretation of the end of 90 again? Like, I'm wondering what you mean by establish the work of our hands, like to see the results. Mm-hmm.
I think it's putting trust in him to make my work meaningful, whether that's career, vocational, or even here, even a mission trip, even volunteer work. Anything, I think it's an action of what we're doing that establishes the work. So I need him to make my work meaningful. I need him to make my actions meaningful because I'm focused on him. That's how I'm seeing it. And that's how I'm applying it to me, that I need him to put meaning into it. I'm not, it's otherwise it's empty. You know, it's Ecclesiastes vainness, you know. That's how I am. I think it's true. I think that's a good interpretation. I think it's bigger than that, but that's how I'm applying it. Do you agree? You sure? I'm open to challenges all the time. Okay. Again, my hope is that this will be a reminder for all of us here to remember God is at work. It's like even the Nehemiah, when I'm on the street and I see, you know, we see all these drug guys out there begging and all that stuff, and they're obviously off the rocker. You know, that could be a future Nehemiah guy. I could actually be having lunch with that guy someday. You know, it's just, that changes everything, right? So I hope it does encourage us all to see that God is at work, and that we would have this intimacy with him as we're watching. And it may be so much as like, God, I'm not seeing you work. I really want to see you work. I really want to see what Moses said in the Psalm 90. That would be my hope. Now, as far as what to talk about, questions I would say would be like, what are two or three areas in your life that you feel like you would want to make a decision, say, okay, I'm going to start looking at what God's doing. Now, it may be family, it may be dating, it may be work, it may be conflict resolution, it may be, I don't know, anything in your life that maybe you have not, do you want to change? You want to say, okay, I want to look at it through the grid of God and see where he's working, as well as see his beauty. Good? All right, thanks.
Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You return man to dust and say, "Return, O children of man." For 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday when it is past, or as a watch in the night. You sweep them away as with a flood. They are like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning. In the morning it flourishes and is renewed. In the evening it fades and withers. For we are brought to an end by your anger. By your wrath we are dismayed. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. For all our days pass away under your wrath. We bring our years to an end like a sigh. The years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80. Yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away. Who considers the power of your anger and your wrath according to the fear of you? So teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? Have pity on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, and for as many years as we have seen evil. Let your work be shown to your servants, and your glorious power to their children. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Okay, guys, thank y'all again for being with us. Hopefully this time was profitable to y'all, especially what Kit shared and just your time in personal reflection and prayer and also in group discussion. We have, I think, just a couple more Sundays of this series, and then we'll have a short break before the fall, but we'd love for y'all to come back. Let me pray us out, and then we'll send you guys on your way. Father, thank you that you have been our dwelling place throughout the generations. Help us to see you as our refuge and strength, no matter what we're experiencing, that we would seek and earnestly desire by the power of your Spirit a deeper abiding relationship with you. And I pray just over all of us that that would overflow into our lives and our relationships with those around us, that we would reflect your glory and your goodness and your kindness to others. Father, thank you again for this time and this community. Be with us as we leave and go to worship or go about the rest of our days, that we would live for your glory and our good. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.